like a week ago when this series started, it was like, I don't know, 50 degrees and rainy. And we're, you know, it was like late winter weather. Now we're just past game three and it is 90 degrees and sunny. We have gone from spring to summer in less than a week in. Are you super psyched about it? Is that what you want from this time of year?
I mean, I'm ready for it to be winter in 2 days and it be 30 again. But that's usually how it works here, right?
No. Now we're at the part where it's unrelenting and from now until the end of August. And it's just going to be like, oh, you messed up. You're wearing socks, you idiot.
Everyone in my life actually has allergies. Like my dad, my babysitter, Ashley, Ethan, they all have horrible allergies. And I actually have already not been sleeping because Ethan's sleep schedule after a year changed big time. Apparently, they kind of give up one of their naps. So he already wasn't sleeping, and then now he has the sniffles. And so he'll wake up in the middle of the night with sniffles and then just start screaming. So the second round series has been especially fun because it's been a life challenge to keep my own sanity. So,
well, at least you're awake for those late night West Coast games. There's a bright side.
I don't know.
I am getting those allergies too. It sucks, but anytime it's summer, I just love summertime so much. I love it when it's just too hot to wear clothes and you want to like huddle around a 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee. That just is. And there's like first of all, there's people on the internet mostly who tell you that it's not okay for a grown adult man to wear shorts, or it's not okay for a grown adult man to wear sandals or in my case sometimes Crocs, and those people can burn in it because that is my summer aesthetic and I love it and I need it and I'm so happy it's here because winter kicked my ass. I'm so ready for summertime, with one rare exception, because usually right around this time of year is when the Washington Capitals get eliminated from the playoffs and then we don't do hockey full time for very much. That doesn't seem to be happening right now.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean I have hope again, which is doubly weird.
And a cruel thing that our hockey team has done to us.
Yeah, I know. I'm back where I always am, but I'm being god positive.
Damn it, we got sucked into it again. This is the Russian Machine Podcast. We're going to talk about Caps hockey.
And now it's time for the RMNB Podcast.
Ian, the Capitals are up 2-1 after three games, which I looked this up on the internet a couple of days ago. Like, the Caps have had a series lead, I think, three times in the month of May since 1998. So, like, we're in uncharted territory where the Caps are up more than one by a game in the second round. Stuff is off the charts wild. What did you expect this to happen at all? What are you thinking of this right now?
I mean, I kind of, you know, it's... I feel bad saying this, but I expected them to lose last night. There were swaths of the game where it just seemed like they were playing really well. They just couldn't score. And I thought the Penguins were going to take over in the third and it'd be kind of just like, you know, every other year where it feels like, man, they're as good as the Penguins and can probably win this series, but you know, some bad bounces are going to happen or whatever. You know, the thing with Tom Wilson with that hit on Aston Reese, you know, I feel like kind of changed the dimension of the game or the directory of it, just because I think the Penguins got so mad about it. You know, it kind of took him out of their game because, yeah, on top of the fact that, you know, he hurt Brian Dumoulin the other night. So, I, you know, Ovi finishing on that Backstrom shot, I mean, that felt like a Hall of Fame play. You know what I mean?
I totally agree. Yeah.
Like they were not going to be denied. And that is something that we have not seen much from this Capitals team. They kind of wilt in the big moments. But last night, you know, Ovi, you know, the puck is bouncing in the air. Ovi's about to celebrate, but no, he keeps his arms down and he finishes the shot and he scores. And I just have such a hugely different like feeling around this team because like I said, is like they usually don't own the big moments, and they are.
You're absolutely right. Last night's game was actually exactly what previous Capitals playoffs games were, except the Caps were the other team. Like the Caps did a fine job controlling play, and there were some bad bounces, but they belonged to the Penguins. You know, they kept ringing the post, and then there was a big play in the final moment, the final minute and change of the game, but it belonged to the Capitals for once. And the fact that Ovi scored exactly in that manner, a rush goal with a good center and hitting it in midair, that is like precisely a Sidney Crosby style goal, except it belonged to Ovi. And yeah, like the last two series against the Penguins, I would say that the Caps deserved to win last season by a lot. They were so good, but the pucks just went the wrong way. It definitely hasn't happened in games 2 and 3, and I'm not sure what to make of it. You and I were sort of on the same boat. Like, you're probably right to not expect the Capitals to win last night. And, I remember putting together like a statistical analysis article at the end of the regular season saying, listen, a team that has that plays like this during the regular season, where they're not controlling play ever, and yeah, they're scoring a lot, that's a profile of a team that historically gets demolished in the playoffs if they make it at all. And there, I remember the Ottawa Senators went to the Eastern Conference Finals, was that last year, and they were pretty darn lucky in the playoffs. But what the Capitals are doing is different. I mean, they were even with the Columbus. They definitely had the advantage on special teams against Columbus. They had some excellent goaltending, but against the Penguins, I really feel like they're winning the game at even strength. Like the Penguins in the first two periods of games 2 and 3. In the first period of games 2 and 3, the Penguins had a good little glut of chances right in front of Braden Holtby, especially when Crosby's on the ice. But the Capitals have sort of wrested back both control on possession, but also just funneling action to the net. That Ovi goal was a perfect example of it, but it's not the only one. I'm not sure what to make of it. I know we were sort of talking about this, and Kara, when we were talking about this last night, about what's different about the Capitals, and my guess is it's on the blue line. I'll expand on that in time, but I'm god damn it, I'm a believer. Something around February, sometime around Valentine's Day, the team stopped being radioactive toilet water, and they are, shoot, they could make the conference finals for the first time in two decades.
Yeah, I don't want to mentally get further than that, but I agree with you, is that I don't know what to make of it either, because they're getting bounces, and like you said, they're winning kind of like how the Penguins were winning last year. Like, the goal that Ovi scored is definitely a Crosby goal or a Jake Guentzel goal that he would have scored last year. Something just seems like, it seems like there's been a role reversal between the two teams so far, and we'll see if, we'll see what happens going into game 4 and beyond. But, I want to kind of bring this back to something too, is that, this entire year I've kind of struggled watching the team, and it's just been because, on top of the fact that they didn't make big changes going into the year, they kept Trotz, they kept the core of the team the same. They got worse appreciably in a lot of areas. The defense, was weak. It was hard to watch a lot of the season because we've been through the entire Ovechkin era and they've never been past the second round. They had two of the best teams in team history the last 2 years, and they both lost in the second round. So in your mind, there's no hope. You know what I mean? There's just nothing really in a sense to look forward to. And, the article I wrote before the second round, I really wrote from my heart, because it's been something I've been marinating about since last summer, and it really played out the way I thought it would, that, Caps fans have really been, I don't want to say disinterested, but it's just been hard for them to be passionate about this iteration of the team. And, one thing that heartened me was, I think it was game 2. I think, what was it, Crosby that scored a goal? And Capital One Arena just roared after that with a really loud "Let's go Caps" chant. And that was kind of, I got this really, really weird feeling down my back, chills. And I just started feeling like things were changing, not only for the team, but for the fans watching at games and everyone. I feel like this entire area is slowly starting to feel it. There isn't a curse. There isn't this or that. Luck can go our way. And I think last night was just such a great example of that. And I'm excited and hopeful it continues. But, you know, I've been down this road before. I don't want to get too excited, but it's cool.
So I was at Sheetz like an hour ago getting my Cherry Coke, and there were two people in line ahead of me, and they were all talking about the last night's game. They were all talking about, like, wow, Ovechkin looked great. Wow, he's really shown up. Wow, he's not choking for once, which, of course, is factually incorrect and whatever. We'll get into that another time. But they were also talking about, we'll get to that in a second, too. But the Tom Wilson hit, and, you know, Tom Wilson's pending suspension or not. Maybe we'll find out about that while we're rolling here. But it seems like the volume, somebody's nudged the volume up a little bit. And all of a sudden, everyone in the area who, you know, we'll soon be talking about the Washington football team. Hopefully they'll talk about that article in the New York Times if you've seen that one yet. Holy crap. But the people whose attention will soon turn to other regional sports teams are zeroed in on the Capitals. And I don't think they're feeling the way our community is necessarily feeling, where, you know, we're always, maybe we're not even feeling that way ourselves, but, like, you know how we are in the playoffs. We're just wrapped up. It's like we've got the stomach flu watching hockey.
Yeah.
Except now, like, I am actually enjoying this. I mean, there were a couple of Columbus games where I was like, but I was like, first of all, this is a damn good series. I mean, we get this every year, but, like, Ovechkin looks great. Even, I mean, it was ridiculous how, like, tired he was on that game winner goal, but, like, seeing him and Crosby, who are going head to head way more often than I was expecting, is fun hockey to watch. Gensel's got some amazing moves. Phil Kessel's never not great. I'm really glad. I mean, obviously, I'm not happy that Malkin's playing against the team that I would want to win, but I like watching him play because he's a very good looking skater and does good stick stuff. Like, this is an excellent freaking series. And I think that's probably true for at least three of the four series going on right now across the league.
Let me buttress that too, is that, you know, I think the fact that there are so low expectations and things are kind of going differently, I think that adds to my enjoyment, because I agree with you. I completely enjoy this series. Like, it's weird. It feels like a regular season game where the stakes aren't, like, where my stomach isn't churning and I'm just shaking. You know, I know a lot of people who would tell me they're shaking during overtimes and third periods, and it just doesn't feel so do or die this year, you know? And on top of that, I feel like I've found so much respect for Crosby over the last few years. Like, even this year, just seeing how his line scores, they score on, like, these random deflections where they set up a, you know, 10, 15 feet away from the net and are just scoring at will on deflections. It's insane. I've never seen it before. Like, they're doing things that no one has ever done before consistently. And I found myself to really respect him as a player, which I didn't before. And that's really added to my enjoyment of the series as well, is that, you know, and with both players getting older, Ovi and Crosby, you know, you also tell yourself too, this might be the last great matchup the teams have potentially in the playoffs. So, God, it's been really great. And, it is definitely not going how I thought it would go.
Yeah, Crosby's amazing. I hate him so much. He's a blast to watch. I want him to lose more than anything on the planet. I have no idea. You're absolutely right. Tom Brady of hockey. I have no idea how he pulls this crap off, but, like, you know, the puck's below the goal line all the time with the Penguins in the offensive zone. I have no idea why. And then every time that puck, like, every time they get an outlet pass, half the time it's blind, you know, it's like a backhand that they can't see where they're passing to. And then there's Crosby or there's Gensel, like, right on the barely to the left or the right of Braden Holtby. It's just that these are not plays that you can manufacture as far as I can tell, but they freaking do somehow. So let's put your money where your mouth is, Ian. Do you think they can pull it off?
Yes. Well, I mean, I said Caps in six, and I believed it. I think the one thing.
Okay, I'm gonna interrupt you.
Well, the one thing I hold on to the most is the fact that they've lost 9 of 10 series. I mean, like, it's just so statistically improbable that the Penguins would keep beating them like 10 out of 11 times, especially with how even the teams are, you know what I mean? So the thing that I hold on to the most is that at some point it has to end, you know?
So you're using what's called do theory in, like, the stat nerd world, which is dangerous, man. Those previous ones are at the very least loosely correlated with future ones. Who knows what will happen? So yeah, I mean I'm in the same way. I just want to call you out real quick. Next round for predictions, we're doing a blind. Well, I'm not putting mine in the draft before you put yours in the draft, because listeners, Ian picked every single winner that I picked. I think it's nonsense. All right, that was the fun stuff. Let's talk about Tom Wilson.
Yeah.
Thomas Wilson in game two was getting behind Brian Dumoulin as Ovechkin was lining up for a hit to the front. Was what we've seen was what was eventually could have been a very common sandwich hit. We see it all the time with Ovechkin and Wilson, or at least we used to see it more in recent seasons. That didn't happen. Dumoulin sort of ducked out of the Ovechkin hit and then got nailed from behind by Wilson. Dumoulin, I think he probably went to the concussion protocol and they got cleared to play somehow. He's back. Wilson was not penalized at the time, did not receive supplementary discipline. The NHL Department of Player Safety ended up cutting a video to explain why he didn't get it, essentially saying that Dumoulin ducking out put himself at hazard, and you know Wilson didn't do anything to maximize. He essentially minimized the hit. That was wonderful. Then in game three, his first name is Zach, right? Zach Anton Reese, is that his full name?
Zach Anton Reese. Ashton.
Ashton. Okay, yeah. Zach Ashton Reese. Thank you.
Ashton.
Okay. I'm going to call him Czar. Z-A-R.
Okay, that works.
Czar. let's see. So you now that we're talking about his name, I forget the play entirely. Czar has the puck and is skating, I guess, right around center ice. Yeah, it's right because it's right in front of the Caps bench, and has possession. I think he's got somebody chasing him, but that's not pertinent to the play. Wilson basically goes right into, I mean, you can argue whether it was shoulder to shoulder, whether it was shoulder to chin, whether it was head to head. I'm not sure, but in the end, we have confirmation from Mike Sullivan that night that Czar suffered a concussion and a broken jaw. He did not return to play that night, although he wouldn't have gotten any play with the game tied and the Pens down in the end of the game anyhow. And unlike in game two, Wilson has a pending hearing, which may be going on as we speak, which could result in, you know, a suspension of, well, it could result in a fine, which I think is probably my most likely guess, or suspension of 1 to 2 games. Ian, what do you make of that nastiness?
Well, I think he's probably going to be suspended 2 or 3 games. I know we have a pretty big disagreement, and I can explain my rationale.
Kadri got 3 games for murdering somebody.
Okay, so here's my rationale, and you can tell me how wrong I am, and I'm fine with that. So the first part of the equation is that the NHL makes no sense. All right, so that's the first thing you have to take in. When has the Department of Player Safety ever made sense? And if you allow yourself out of logic to believe that, then that's where I am, first off. Second of all, Wilson has had 2 bad hits. Now, both of them weren't suspendable, and both of them, in a sense, weren't necessarily his fault, per se, or the other one. There weren't camera angles to really be definitive. But what's going to happen here is just like a makeup call in postseason hockey, like in overtime. They're going to probably look at this hit because Czar was hurt so bad. I think what they're going to do is they're going to use those previous 2 hits and give him a 2 or 3 game suspension and not even really discuss the shoulder aspect. You know what I mean? Because when they sent out the review, they said it was a head hit, you know? So I just think that this one is going to be the one where he pays for it. It's kind of like playing with fire, like he has gasoline and he's kind of like dancing around a fire, you know, oh, some gas falls out a few times. But then on this other hit right here, I mean, you know, obviously he tried to make it clean. I mean, there's no argument to that. I don't think he kept his feet down. His skates were on the ice. He's trying to go for the shoulder. I think it's honestly a thing where a bigger dude is checking a little dude and the bigger dude is really strong and he just plows through him. And it's just what's happening. You know, it's just a really bad NHL hit from a guy who's big to a guy who's small. But I just think the problem is going to be is that he has a history. He's done this 2 times in the playoffs and already gotten away with it, kind of because of circumstantial things. So I just think this is where they're going to throw the hammer down. I mean, that's just me.
All right. So your first point is the strongest, I think, which is that to a large degree, the NHL and Department of Player Safety is inscrutable. You just don't know what they're going to choose to care about. And yeah, if if the punishment is three games, that would not align one little bit with what actually happened, with what Wilson actually did, right? That was not a three game. It would have been called for something at the time if it were something obvious, like a meriting a three game suspension. You know, if they said, oh, this actual suspension is actually for, this is a makeup call in the same way that the on-ice refs do makeup calls. I don't think they'll do that. But if a three-game suspension happened for it, that would be my only rationalization for it, unless there's some kind of analysis that I just could not account for. Here's the thing. The on-ice refs didn't just not blow the whistle. They conferred about it, chose not to blow the whistle. And then they had that quote after the game. They said, yeah, this is a clean hockey hit. So the on-ice ruling and obviously Department of Player Safety are having different things going on. I have a suspicion that the Department of Player Safety, and I think I said this at the time, they want to talk to Wilson about his predilection to get into these kinds of hits. But the hit itself, as far as I can tell, is okay under the letter of the law. And this stupid thing that we all do as fans is we enter this like area of like double consciousness where we think about whether this player was good or not, but we do it through the lens of what the rule book says is okay or not. We all sort of have like this shorthand intuition about, like you said yourself, like did Tom Wilson launch into Czar Aston Reese? No, he did not. Like his legs were extended. He didn't sort of push up, but the hit was certainly at a shoulder level to a person who's less tall than he is, which is where the head usually lives. So it certainly was head proximal if it wasn't head targeting. And it's not the first time or even the 50th time that Tom Wilson's been in a hit like that. So if there's a problem going on, my position remains that we need to get to a place in this hockey league where if this hit is not allowed, the rule book has to say so. And the only way to do that is to do, Ken Dryden's no head hit rule, where no matter what your intention was, no matter whether it was the principal point of contact or not, if that hit punishes the head in any kind of direct way, then you need to punish that player. That's the only way that this thing can get fixed, because what Tom Wilson did ostensibly is in line with NHL values and in line with the NHL rule book. And we can be indignant about it if he's, on some other team, or we can be, reflexively defensive about it, which you and I are not if he's on our team. But this play is legal. That's what it is. I'm not sure. It's an indictment of the league, not the individual player, that this kind of crap keeps happening. And I'm not sure what you do about it, but I'm not sure that you can do anything about a player like Tom Wilson unless you curb hitting in general. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think that's a logical view. That's the rational, logical view of what probably should happen. And I'm with you on it in terms
of... I get where you're going with this.
I just don't think that's going to happen this time, but I guess we'll see. And I agree, they might make up something or find something that they can use. I just think that, he's already been... he's been suspended twice already this year, or was it only once for that St. Louis?
Twice. I think he had six games. One was for a boarding. One was for... I don't remember what the other one was for. I remember he had a boarding hit that cost him four.
Yeah, I think that was the St. Louis Blues one. Yeah, so... Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. And I agree with you. I hope that they institute a no head contact rule, because... I mean, like, we haven't spent enough time on it. I mean, the injury that Czar had is just... Guys shouldn't have to absorb injuries like that in a game unless it's really unlucky. You know what I mean? But if it's a player delivering a hit and then it's not penalized, it's legal, I mean, something is wrong with the game. And
you're never going to get it changed. You can't fix that unless there's some sort of behavioral adjustment that's enforced through the rule book. Unless you put padding on the... No, that's insane.
Yeah.
You have to change this on the rule book, because you're not going to do this culturally.
And I don't think you're going to lose anything out of the sport if you say no head hits. You know what I mean? Like, I perhaps that will allow more people to be bold. And that might actually make the game a better sport. I think sometimes the NHL is so dug in on their roots from 20, 30 years ago, where like there was line brawls every game and guys were assaulting each other with their sticks and they didn't wear helmets, that it just seems like a huge jump. But I think it's a total myth. It needs to happen. Like, with my son growing up, If I'm going to make that argument to my wife of, you know, I want Ethan to play hockey, you know, that's going to be a question I have to answer is, well, what about the head injuries? And this is something that, you know, while at lower levels, it's been kind of fixed where kids have to wear cages. There's no head hits. A lot of times there's no body checking until you're a teenager. It's just still something that it kind of makes the NHL worse, you know? And I hope that that's something they examine. And I hope Tom Wilson, you know, out of this, as an optimistic person, I hope Tom Wilson being such a good body checker and physical person makes the NHL rethink some of these rules, because, you know, I bet George Parros is sitting in his seat right now really sweating it out, you know, because he probably feels like he has to do something that seems like he's laying the law down, but he probably also thinks that it's legal in the rule book, and that's a really bad place to be.
So I think you're absolutely right. And when I say that, like, head hits need to be enforced in the rule book, what I think I mean is we're not going to get into a situation where they're banished from the game, but there needs to be a situation where the rule book leads to a change in behavior and culture where they're minimized. You can't make this game safe, but you can make it safer. And you can't do that unless you're serious about it with the rule book, by doing something that punishes the action, not the result and not the intention, but the action. I don't care if somebody gets injured. I don't care if you meant to do it. You did it. You need to make sure that this happens less in the future. That's the only way you change players like Tom Wilson. Or you kick him out of the league. Those are two things. And you either get the arbitrary ruling that you discussed or my safe and insane world. Now that we're in the place, first of all, one last thing is I didn't watch hockey 20, 30 years ago, but I, a couple years ago, went buck wild on YouTube highlights of the like 1980s Islanders and the Oilers when they were just on fire, just watching those games. Those guys did not hit the way we thought the way they do now. And Alan May told us about this when he was on the podcast with us a couple years back, but like when somebody hits you, they would also ride you into the boards.
Yeah.
The impact was smaller because the duration of the hit was longer, and there were guys that pass up hits to get possession. The game had less of restraining, perhaps, but like then the game probably has more of that now, perhaps as like a result of the size of the ring changing and the dudes being bigger in general. But the game was not as tough, at least aside from brawls and fighting, as people describe it. It was, in fact, I think it was a better entertainment product back in the day. And that said, I get the, you know, visceral experiential thrill of a big hit, but I also don't think it's a lasting, you know, sustainable way to enjoy a sport, because it consumes lives, and that's not an okay way to do it. But while we're on the topic of law enforcement, can we go back to the no goal, the Hornquist goal that did not go in? So first of all, it wasn't a goal insofar as the league said it wasn't a goal. But Ian, and I'm getting close to you here, I'm like winking at you, like hitting you with like the elbow nudge. That was a goal, right?
I don't know. I mean, at first I really thought it was. I you know, even on the overhead angle when Holtby's getting it, you can see it. You see it going over, and then everything gets blocked. And then they showed that side view, which obviously now we all know about what the parallax view is. So we're all, you know, we all could get a graduate degree in geometry. But I don't know. I really don't know how to feel about that. I honestly think it should have been a good goal on the ice and a good goal. I mean, that's honestly what I think. I mean,
buddy.
Yeah.
Buddy, that was a goal.
I think they got it wrong.
I think they got it right, based on the evidence available to them, they couldn't overturn it. But buddy, that puck was over, and Braden Holtby pulled a little bit of a scam on us.
Another one of those breaks, man. Another one of those weird breaks.
Things that didn't happen in the years 2008 to 2017. What the heck play was the the Brett Connolly harassing of Matt Murray prior to whoever scored that goal. I guess who probably Lars Eller probably scored it, right?
That, please.
So I'm okay with it. Like, I don't think it was goalie interference, but you seem to be a little more strict about our boy Brett.
But I don't understand what goalie interference is. He's literally interfering with the goalie within 1 second of the shot happening. Like, he hits him, his entire leg gives out, and then he has to focus and stop a shot. I mean, I get that he still had an opportunity to make the save, but to me, that is literally the definition of what goaltender interference is, beyond like some guy skating through the crease and taking his stick, the goalie's stick with him in his body. You know what I mean? Where the goalie kind of spins and just can't make the save. I mean, you could make the argument that Murray could still make the save, but I mean, if you allow that, I don't know. It just blows my mind. If I did that in hockey on Sundays, I mean, it wouldn't be a goal. You know what I mean? Like, it would be like, you interfered with him. So I just don't understand why in this, you know, this one example, that's the thing, is the NHL is just maddening, because some of their subjective decisions just make no sense. I mean, it's just not rational. I mean, and that one I didn't think was rational at all. I mean, I guess because he scored and he still had an opportunity to make the save and they didn't call goaltender interference, it is a goal. And perhaps it happened so quick and the referees couldn't even see it anyway, so they couldn't call a penalty on the ice. Like, I see some of the mitigating factors, but like when you review that, I thought that was just a horrible call. And I can see how Pens fans kind of feel like things are not going their way, which again is weird.
Two things going on. One is that, like, you're every major league sport except for NBA, which is the most entertaining sport apparently, is having the same problem, right? Like, major league baseball games are way too long, umpires are awful, and I'm sorry, but you can have a robot call pitches and strikes better than umpires do and then solve 80 problems. No one knows what a catch is in NFL, which seems like a problem, right? In football, you should know what a catch is. And then so those baseball and whatever. And then those are all the sports that I care about. Hockey, the rules are a mix of mysticism and legalism. And you don't know which ones people are going to use at the time. And once you get to the postseason, it's entirely indefensible. These, like, the referees enter the game and they're like, all right, everything that was a penalty in the regular season, we're going to reduce that by 15%, but it's up to me to decide what that 15% is that I'm not going to call. And then once I call this one, I'm going to start keeping a mental tally of who's owed what. And based on the situation of the game, it's like a weighted random number generator that tells me whether or not I'm going to call this or not. And so you see these, like, and by the way, it's happening to both sides. I think it's obvious that the Capitals have reaped the benefits more, but you know, like, there have been, Ruedel got away with some stuff, Niskanen got away with some stuff, Tom Wilson has maybe gone away with some stuff, apart from the two plays we talked about. It, like, it's completely arbitrary what is called and what isn't. And it's amazing that this second round has been as entertaining as it has been, and like such a pleasing experience as a sports fan, considering how atrocious the officiating has been in a way that I think is just bad for the sport. Like, I think it, like, it's like the referees exerting their will on the game, when I want to watch Ovi and Kuznetsov and Malkin and Crosby and my baby boy Phil. Like, that's why I tuned in. I don't give a darn about these refs. I'm baffled by it, and I'm astonished that we're still having a good time despite how crazy this is.
You know, looking from a website perspective, 135,000 hits yesterday. You know, I love the controversy.
Like, fair point.
That, you know, just to tell you, I mean, it is wild on Twitter. It is the wild, wild west. Like, I mean, the fact that we had to, like, you know, Danya was nice enough to write an article debunking some of these rumors and stuff. I mean, people are just writing that Crosby spit at well, who was it? Kuznetsov? I didn't see that at all. I mean, it's just insanity, but it is, you know, the one good thing about it is that we are getting lots of page views.
Yeah, and that's what gets the people at Sheetz talking about it when I'm getting my cherry coke. Before we go, well, one quick topic before we wrap it up. How's Barry Trotz doing for you?
That's a great question. Postseason? You know, I feel like nothing is different, yet everything is completely different. I like, that makes no sense, but I don't know how to explain it better.
The Capitals. It's good.
He's not playing Varana, even though he's one of the best players on the ice when he goes out on 5-on-5. you know, he made the obvious goaltending decision. So I don't think he's like, he's very brave about putting Holtby in. I don't think he did. I think he handled the goalie situation fine. I mean, that's the way to do it. You know, I still see stupid stuff, but you know, Orpik, for instance, why is he playing? He shouldn't be playing.
During argument for him,
why he should be in the NHL. Yet he's playing. He's taking bad penalties. Yet the Capitals are getting through them. So, you know, in a lot of ways, I think the Capitals are just overcoming Barry Trotz. So I don't really. I think perhaps he's worse than usual, but maybe I'm wrong, and maybe something else is happening. I don't know, but I really can't wait until he's gone. That Tortorella thing where he basically told Torts what was going on.
I'm
really
done.
Quick,
I'm out of
you know,
here.
I want to go into that. Is that, you know, let's say that lip reading, you know, let's say that Elliot Friedman was going right on Barry's lip reading. as a journalist and someone who dabbles in journalism, Elliot is not going to say that unless he knows something else and is using the lip reading as a way to say what he already knows. So I think that was 100% true. I don't know, but, you know, Barry is, the Caps are overcoming Barry, and I'm happy about that. And, you know, like three or four guys that are benched should be playing, but you know, YOLO, whatever. I'm just not even focusing on it.
I when you said like overcoming Barry, I did like the finger kiss, like Italian chef, like, oh, that's a spicy meatball. That's well put. Jacob Vrana needs more ice time. Although I thought there was progress. Period three, Vrana got like ice time with the second line. I like that shakeup. If they lose Tom Wilson for game four, maybe instead of Devontae Smith-Pelly up on the first line, maybe they could get some Jake time up there. That'd be cool. I agree. I think you're on the right point there. Can I ask you about two other series real quick?
Heck yeah.
So I think the best series of the playoffs so far, certainly of this round, is Jets and Preds. I think the Jets took the lead last night, although I was pretty tired when I turned it off. I think I'm right, though. I think Blake Wheeler had a goal late to put it away. I think that's excellent. Philip Forsberg's not quite as hot in the second round as he was in the first round, but that's damn good hockey, and we're really lucky to see it. I think, like, you know, the Preds are one style of hockey, and the Jets are young and fun, plus Bufflin. And even though they don't have my boy Matty Perreault up there, it's great to see. I'm over the moon about that series. I don't care much at all about Boston and the Bolts.
That's a meteor situation.
Yes.
Gotta wish well, just get hit by a meteor.
as somebody who likes you know, I know you like PK a good deal, and I know you love your boy Philip Forsberg. Oh, boy. What do you make of the Preds?
Well, that series in general, I mean, I think it's been amazing because it's kind of, it also pits two of the best fan bases in the NHL against each other, and just watching any Predators game is just amazing.
Do you mean the Atlanta Thrashers fan base?
No.
Do you think that the people in Atlanta are rooting for the Jets, though? Serious question.
Are people actually in Atlanta watching hockey? Because wasn't that the problem why they left?
Yeah, probably.
it's you know, I'm kind of surprised by how good the Jets are. Mark Scheifele has been amazing. And I hope I'm saying his name right. Is it Shifley? Scheifele?
I think you did.
Whatever.
Let's just pretend you didn't say it the second time. Let's just go with the first one.
All right. That's great. But yeah, him and Alane, I mean, it's the Jets have become a really good team. And, you know, I think the Predators, the thing about the Predators that are amazing is just so fast. And I think that's why they made it out of the West last year. They're likely to make it out of the West this year if they have good luck and can get past the Jets. But I think it's also an example, too, of like, some of the best teams in each conference playing each other way too early. You know, it's kind of sad in a sense. But yeah, I mean, that series has been great. I've been really, really paying attention to the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm kind of falling in love with William Karlsson. I mean, Wild Bill is my man now. I kind of have a crush on him. Just his style of hockey. I mean, he is lightning. He kind of plays like a super tiny Alex Semin. You know, like a super tiny, super fast Alex Semin. And I
can see it.
Yeah. And watching Nate, I'm just rooting for Nate because he's a great guy. Should have never been let go. But I'm rooting for all the best with him. And I'm sorry, first pairing Nate Schmidt, who's getting who's leading the Vegas Golden Knights in ice time every night. And you know what? I feel like I love Nate even more because it's even more of a slam on Barry Trotz. You know, like that decision by Barry Trotz to be like, he's a 7D. Like me being obnoxious about my love for Nate Schmidt is just another way I can be like, Barry, you have no idea what you're doing sometimes. But yeah, I mean, the series have been amazing. It's been amazing hockey. And yeah.
The last couple of sound bites from you do nothing to help our argument that we are not a petty, biased blog. But I totally agree. I'm loving the Golden Knights. I have no idea why.
He's been the most open of anybody about him leaving. So, I mean, I feel like since he's being so open, I can be a little bit more open, too, you know?
Yeah, I'm just ribbing. Yeah, it's all fun. Do you think that people will leave me alone for that bad Kadri tweet anytime soon?
No, we got another tweet today. We got like three or four.
No,
a few
no,
favorites. They're coming in, ripping you. Wait. So it was great.
God damn it! I made one bad tweet.
Y'all. It wasn't a bad tweet. It was a good tweet that could be inferred in a different way. Which
no, I said it badly. So okay, the tweet was, and this is 4 seconds after Kadri murdered a human being in a hockey game. Hey, Leafs, hope you're feeling real good about yourselves tonight. That's what it should have said. But it said, hey, Leafs, you've got Kadri signed through 2023. Hope you're feeling real good about yourself. That was dumb because it made it seem like it's about the contract. When really, I was just looked up, I was like, is Kadri, like, I couldn't remember. And I remember writing about it at the time, now in hindsight, that like Kadri got that contract. It's an amazing contract. Kadri's been playing great on it. But then he, you know, did the murder and got suspended for 3 games, of which I think the Leafs lost 2 of 3. They were out of that series and in out of the playoffs. I still feel solid that Kadri made a boo-boo, and the Leafs should feel bad in the same way that the Caps should feel bad about Wilson murdering 2 human beings over the last 2 games. Perhaps less bad, because I would argue that Tom Wilson's hits are less severe than Kadri's have been. Except for the one that ended Vasnovsky's career. But I made a tweet that was towards a team that, you know, had Kadri and seemed to be like indignant that or self-righteous, you know, that anyone would say, no, it was a clean hit. He just, you know, hit him in the numbers into the boards and then broke his spine. Whatever. That happens all the time. But people are like, actually, we're feeling really good about it. He scored 70,000 goals last season and he's only costing X amount of dollars. I was like, yeah, but he hurts people. That's the point. It's not about the contract. It's about the hurting of the people.
You know, I've always called you a wordsmith. And that was the most Caps thing you've ever done. And by that, I mean, you said the absolute right thing about the guy who has like the best valued contract in the NHL. So like it just
walked right into it. Gosh darn it, I'm an idiot. And the thing, like, first of all, we had such a good vibe with Toronto last season, you know, after those playoffs, Dark Guy was our pal. The guys, like, I used to do like podcasts with like the Maple Leafs hot stove. Dangle even gave me our time about it. It's unending. And then, by the way, like on my personal, I'm talking with Nuance in the same way that everyone on our website does about Tom Wilson. None of us love the way he hurts human beings, and we're torn about it. We talk about that, and yet people are like, oh, that's rich coming from you. I'm like, dude, I didn't sign Tom Wilson to the contract. I don't have enough money to pay Tom Wilson for that contract.
Here goes the Caps fan blog, just loving on the team again.
Oh god. Yeah, and we're like, oh, actually, we're a general interest blog.
I just want to tell everyone that even though we're a fan blog, whenever someone calls me or the site a fan blog, I want to murder them. Like, I don't. Like,
they've never said it in good.
Wrote it, but I imagine choking them. I do.
It's never a description without an agenda. It's always like F these. That's what they called us when back when like the Neuwirth translation stuff happened. People were calling us a fan blog, and I remember when I wrote about like people citing our thing to say how bad we were without naming us by name but calling us a fan blog. I'm like, oh yeah, you guys are definitely the pinnacle of journalistic integrity, you ass clowns. I'm done talking about hockey for the day. I'm sure my boy Nate's lacing up in a little bit, and we're gonna find out how many games Tom Wilson is suspended for. The answer will be 0 games. Two. With a fine,
probably 2.
And it was a pleasure. Put on your shorts and your sandals.
I do have one parting gift. I will have a very funny article about Connor Carrick in the next 24 hours.
Oh, cricket, I miss him.
And no one will be able to predict it. He just totally fried me.
Okay, looking forward to it. Let's go Caps. Caps in 6.
Caps in 6. This is
been Russian Machine Never Breaks, the podcast. But now, it's over. Nothing to see here. Move along.